Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Jennifer Lemke of the Weedman Franchise Opportunity. Weedman has almost 40 years of lawn experience, and they've grown to be the world's largest lawn care franchise. The reason for their growth is their partnership with their existing franchisees. With the hard work and dedication of their franchisees and their undeniable devotion to customer service, they've built a successful and recognizable brand. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Same to you. I'm doing okay, Marty. How are you this week?
Good, good. Busy week, as always, you know. Yeah. But, you know, the good news is I think spring is finally hitting Pennsylvania, you know. So I'm sure it's the same thing out there in Jersey.
Yeah, I'm starting to see more green, some flowers. It's always a nice time of the year.
Yeah, thank God, you know, so looking forward to
Yeah, we're all tired of the cold.
Yeah, it was a long winter. Our last show, Don, we met with Blake Smith from the Decor Group. And the Decor Group is Christmas decor and nighttime decor. And at the Decor Group, franchising is their business. Nighttime Decor is a member of the Decor Group, which is a conglomerate of lighting and decorating service and product supply companies that include the Christmas Decor franchise system. Christmas Decor is the leading brand in Christmas decorating services and has gained national acclaim in the media and the franchise industry for their success of the business. Housed in the same corporate headquarters, Nighttime Decor franchisees share the same resources as Christmas Decor franchisees. However, due to the scope and requirements of each business, Nighttime Decor has its own operational and support team. But last week was an incredible show. It was one of those, I guess you can call them, top 10 shows, wasn't it? What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was a very good show. Don't you have about 50 top 10 shows, Marty?
I think I do. That would equal, what, 500?
Yeah, great quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Blake, I mean, just, you know, real solid advice. And it was really like a franchising 101 type show. I really feel that the core group, they're really doing everything correct and that a franchise system has to do and putting the franchisee in the best position for success. I mean, I was pretty impressed with how he set up the whole company and the growth they're having. A great guest.
Yeah, he started this company, I don't know if you remember, at 16 years old, right? I mean, he was a landscaper. And what happened was he had a need to, you know, keep his employees year-round, you know. I mean, that's one of the problems with landscaping is, you know, it's not a year-round business. So he had to come up with something different, you know. So he came up with this whole Christmas decor concept. And, you know, it took a while to put the pieces together. And, you know, but before you know it, he had a nice niche in the market. He was very passionate, too, wasn't he, as he was speaking.
Right.
I mean, you can sense his passion as he was talking. But you're right, he had some excellent quotes during that show that we're going to put in our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. One of them that he said, Don, was he said, franchising brings all the pieces together, you know, and he actually compared it to a science. You know, he really got Christmas decor, you know, and the whole decor group into it like a science. There's been a lot of research involved. Listen to this. He was saying over 100,000 records were studied to determine who their customers are. They're very, very big on technology. In fact, you can't even phone in an order. I think you have to, he's mentioning you have to do it electronically,
right?
Because all those orders are actually studied and analyzed, you know, and this franchise is really, he's got it down to a science, which is quite amazing. So it's just amazing.
It was pretty interesting how, I guess a good amount of their franchisees were existing business owners who just wanted to diversify,
right,
and add on another part to their business, contractors. So I thought that was interesting.
That was interesting, yeah. And I guess he had to be selective too. You know, I mean, again, Blake knows, you know, his business, but he did want somebody, of course, who, and I think you asked this question, you know, able to follow a system. You know, it's the word entrepreneurial, you know, if they're too entrepreneurial, could be a little dangerous, you know, getting into any type of franchise, you know. So I think he was pretty selective there as far as, you know, which ones he went with.
It sounds like his company, really, him and others who agree to bring in a new franchise, I guess they can really tell when someone has a high desire to win and succeed, because that was part of his answer on what types of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee. Besides following the system, which is always what you always want to hear in that answer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a pretty big market, too, isn't it? You know, I think he was mentioning, he said, one-fourth of the marketplace. I guess it's for the, I want to say it's the Christmas decorating service. I believe it was a $300 million market. And outdoor lighting, it was a billion-dollar market, you know what I mean? So we're talking about some serious numbers here. And, you know, we've used the word on several occasions, we've used the word staycation, that people are upgrading their homes today, aren't they? They're not moving anymore, you know, they're making their homes more valuable, you know, so.
What's kind of interesting, didn't Blake say as far as existing business owners diversifying, doing something in the off-season, even like landscapers, having like the Weed Man on, you know, they should partner up with Blake.
Wow.
be a pretty powerful partnership, you know. Maybe the two should talk after the show.
Nice thought. Nice thought on my part, huh?
There you go. You're always thinking like an entrepreneur, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good of a franchisee you'd make, but, you know. <it's but, you know, they also had a strong training system. I don't know if you remember about their training, Dom, but it was pretty intense, you know. And I think the training overall, not just for the decor group, but I think for a lot of franchises out there, I believe the training is so much better today than it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I don't know that for a fact, but just because of the technology that's available, you know, that he was talking about. Like, I mean, you can go on the computer at, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, and go into their online library, you know, and get information on really anything relating to that business. But a lot of franchises that we've had on the show up to this point say the same thing. You know, the training is very intense, and it's not just like a two-week kind of thing and you're on your own. This is ongoing. You know, I noticed that with a lot of franchises today. You know, it's one of the benefit, again, of buying a franchise. You know, there's many benefits, but
yeah, I think you're right about that. With so much training, it's so much more. It's longer. It's more detailed, and you know, technology's had a lot to do with that. So.
Oh, absolutely. You know, which was nice while we added that question most recently into our show, you know, several months ago. We started asking about the whole technology thing, and we usually get some pretty interesting responses. He laughed when we asked the question because, you know, he says, you know, I'm thinking back to 15, 20 years ago, you know, I mean, people, one of the questions was, I guess, do you have a fax machine? You know,
right.
That was like the big piece of material or the big technology back then, you know, and today it's just, God, it's so much more sophisticated. So,
right.
Yeah, he really did a great job. You know, and as a service, too, that he went as far as, you know, he's saying that it saves marriages in the sense that, you know, putting up Christmas lights and things like that, you know, I mean, I guess it's something that you don't look forward to. And I never, do you put up Christmas lights on your home or?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Do you do it yourself or do you have your dad do it or?
No, I do it myself.
Okay,
and,
I was going to say, I hope Sharon's
not doing
it.
You know, I try to make it fun.
Right.
It is a, you know, now we have something where instead of untangling the lights, we have this roller thing, so it's easier. But the kids want to do it, and they're driving me a little nuts. They're stepping on the lights. It's always a little stressful part of the.
Yeah, I can only imagine, you know. But I think it's a wonderful service, you know. I can't imagine people, you know, I guess some people do, you know, look forward to putting up the lights, but it's got to be a pretty big job too, you know. So thought he was an excellent guest. You know, I'd love to have him back, you know, towards the end of the year or maybe in the beginning of 2010, you know, and
right.
We'll just continue to watch these guys grow, you know. So great show. Good job, Blake. So what do we got going on today, Don?
Jennifer Lemke of the Weedman franchise. I've been
That's
40
great.
Years in the lawn care business, so we hear what they're all about, and we're excited about that.
And it's good timing, too, isn't it? You know, I
right.
mean, you see landscapers outside now, you know, starting their jobs and things like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having Jennifer on the show today. It's fantastic. And they got a nice long history as well, you know. So, yeah, it should be a great show. Well, what's going on in the world of franchising?
All right, let me see something here, Marty, through the Wichita Business Journal. You know, yeah, we don't talk about Wichita that much on
No,
this.
We don't. That's like, where'd you get that?
Does laid off workers take control of their careers by becoming franchisees by Sarah Jeffords Peister? It says continued layoffs nationwide have left millions of Americans with questions about how to make their next professional move. For many people, finding a comparable position elsewhere in corporate America is not the only answer. And obviously it's tougher these days.
Mm-hmm.
Some entrepreneurial minded professionals like the idea of being their own boss and have pursued that goal in the form of franchising. There's more than 900,000 franchise businesses in the U.S. That number keeps going up.
Right.
Franchises directly and indirectly provided 21 million jobs, contributed an estimated $2.3 trillion in economic output in the U.S. private sector in 2005. So it's from a few years ago. Numbers higher, of course. That's reported by the IFA. The report, Economic Impact of Franchise Businesses, review data from 2001 to 2005, which was the last downturn. In this recession, the Washington, D.C.-based trade group expects to see modest declines, and we've mentioned this on past shows, with just common sense, most industries will go down a little bit, and the number of new franchisees because of the lack of available financing, says Alyssa Harrison, VP of Communications and Marketing for the IFA, but she expects franchising to remain a popular career alternative for downsized people, especially those who have severance pay, savings, or 401k funds that can be used to cover startup costs.
Right.
You can go into business for yourself, but you aren't by yourself when you're going into franchising, she says. Franchising opens door when other doors were closing. And they have a little story here about this person, Donald DeMuth, came back from vacation to find that he was being laid off from his IT job. Although we knew layoffs were coming, he thought his managerial role within the company's four-person IT support department would be safe. Instead, he lost his over $68,000 a year salary, and the company kept an employee as he trained. Despite his initial surprise, he figured his 20 years of experience in the IT industry would give him leverage in the job market. What he found in the ensuing months was that employers were looking for a very specialized skill set. Unfortunately for him, he was more of a jack-of-all-trades, which landed him interviews but not job offers. I'm sure this is going on all over the country right now. He says he was getting frustrated, feeling as though the doors weren't opening. His dissatisfaction with technical recruiters prompted him to consider starting an IT recruiting business himself. He believed franchising was the best route for him, so he researched various IT recruitment and support franchises online. And he met with the Service Corps of Retired Executives. And as part of the exploratory phase, he discovered the Utility Company, a Canadian-based franchise that provides managed IT services for small and medium-sized businesses. The Utility Company provides full-service support for anything related to a client's network, including switches, routers, servers, PCs, laptops, phone systems, mobile devices. It also offers online backup services, protection against viruses and spam, and so forth. And the company has 70 franchisees who sell the service plans and products. About 95% of the support is handled remotely, and the local franchisee provides on-site assistance for those whose problems cannot be fixed remotely. So, just interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a common situation, hasn't it? You know, I mean, we've seen this story a dozen times, you know, and I think, you know, franchising has been a savior, you know, for a lot of these people. I don't think they ever thought about the franchise alternative, you know, and it just makes sense to a lot of these people, you know, who've been working for years and years.
Right.
So yeah, it has, and he's probably going to do very well. It sounds like an interesting concept too, doesn't it, Don? I've never heard of that.
Right. Same with me, Canadian based.
Yeah.
He says he counts his blessings and has been able to take his career into his own hands. And that he and his wife, an administrative assistant for a law office, have been able to weather this period of adversity.
Wow.
I believe it's encouraged my faith in God more than anything else. He says we're certainly not out of the woods yet, and he's still in the startup mode. But they say they've got smiles on their faces and hope in their hearts.
That's great. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to get a, well, I hate to say, I guess I could say a kick in the ass, don't you? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Watch your mouth. I understand what you're saying.
There you go. But I mean, I think something like that helps. You know what I mean? If this didn't happen, I don't think this gentleman would have ever gone into his own business. And I could be wrong, but I mean, maybe this is the best thing that ever happened to him and his family. You know what
right.
I mean? So,
well, this is a perfect example of that forced entrepreneurship.
Well, there you go. I forgot you got the copyright on that word, don't you? I have to get your permission to use it. But that was a brilliant word, forced entrepreneurship, you know. And,
right. Right. But what does this guy do? He has all the experience. Compy's not losing his job. It happens, and doesn't maybe have that specific skill companies are looking for. Real tough. Is he buying existing business? That can be a lot more expensive. You get financing, high down payment. You start a franchise, longer startup mode, but.
Mm-hmm.
He found something that matched his skill set, and he was able to get all the support and backing and training and and training and sales and so forth. And you know, it seems like he's on the right path. But you're right. Sometimes you get in a rut. Here's a situation where he might be. You know, within a couple of years, he might be making a lot more money, 2-3 times as what he was making beforehand.
Yeah, and there's no way he's gonna. Leave, he's just going to work the rest of his life because and I understand that. He's got the safety of his pension and all that other stuff.
Right.
You know, his medical benefits and all those important things that, people worry about, on a daily basis. So,
right.
Yeah. Someone like this would probably even make a great guest, wouldn't he, on our show. We should probably look into maybe reaching him and, see if we can get him on the show because these are wonderful stories, and this is a
right.
very typical story.
Yeah.
Of forced entrepreneurship, so maybe we can set that up.
Here's something, Marty. Asbury Park Press here in New Jersey, my local paper. Real world experience for Monmouth students. When you walk into Cartridge World, we've had on the show in the past couple of times, in Ocean Township, New Jersey, you'll find Monmouth University students behind the counter.
Wow.
But rather than earning an hourly wage, their pay is an education how to run and grow a business. They have a vested interest. Monmouth University is a part owner in the franchise, putting them in the driver's seat as small business owners. They're involved in real business, not a theoretical business, not a case study, said Monmouth University professor John Buzza, who teaches at the University's Center for Entrepreneurship. They're dealing with real dollars. The story kind of ties into yourself being a professor, have taken classes on entrepreneurship and so forth.
This is clever, though. Yeah, I mean, it really is. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better experience than this.
Yeah.
Teaching about entrepreneurship, business ownership. Here, in this case, it's a franchise.
And it's a real-life situation, Don. You know, it's not, you know, a lot of times, and you remember this when you go back to your college days, you know, you said in the article, it's not a case study. You know, a lot of times in case studies, you're, you know, it's something that happened in the past or it's a fictional situation, the names are changed. This is a real-life scenario, you know. And
right.
I haven't heard of this before, but I'm very interested.
Yeah, it goes on. About 35 students in the entrepreneur program man the doors counter during the week, helping customers buy printer ink and toner, but they also work behind the scenes on functions such as accounting, inventory control, marketing, publicity, and making sales calls.
Wow.
One group also is looking for new locations for the store, now located in the town center here in Central Jersey. There are problems that we run into that we need to analyze and come up with a solution that is going to be best for the customer, said Monmouth University Senior Mark Patterson of Oceanport, a leader of store management. We are learning in class, yes, but we learn more in the store by what comes up, what kind of problems we need to deal with. Buzza said he knew Greg Carafello, who we know, he's been on the show,
right,
the master franchisee for Cartridge World for this whole area, the ink refiller retailer in New Jersey, New York City. The idea was to partner with the franchise so students could run a company on a sweat equity basis. Carafello was receptive, and along with Buzza and Joy and Joe Patesh, who I know, the owner of the Ocean Township location, hammered out a contract. They're local franchisees here. The two-year deal gives Monmouth University a one-third ownership in the business. What we had to put up was the work and all of what is needed to run the business, he said. The students' work and their share of the profits flows to the university's School of Business Administration. This summer, students in a small business management course will take over. In the fall and spring, entrepreneurship program students will take over. The program's contract ends in about 2011. Joy Patesh, who along with her husband also owns a different store, said the students are an asset and we can help grow sales. We really didn't think we have much to lose, she says. We will have this whole team, which hopefully will take us over the top. But the owners, the Bateshas, do have a final say in the company's business decisions. She says the students are very energetic. They're getting out in the world to the university.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, interesting story.
That is. That's very clever. And I think what's going to happen is, you know, you'll see a lot of other colleges and universities do something like this as well. You know, I know for us, you know, I teach for Kaplan University, and we've always been thinking about, you know, how we can do something like this. I'm the faculty advisor for this organization called the Collegiate Entrepreneurs, and talking about doing something just like this. You know, it's a little more difficult for us because our students are all over the United States, sometimes even in different countries, you know, so it makes it difficult. But, yeah, I mean, it's something to definitely look into. So I'm going to, you know, keep my eye on this, and perhaps, you know, we could have Greg on the show to
tell us how
talk
this
about
is
it.
Going. Yeah, because not only does it give students great experience,
show.
But it gives students – you know, the possibility of thinking about, hey, how about owning a franchise right out of the gate? And we've talked about that in the past. Some franchise systems, you know, maybe a little better for a young person starting out, depending on the type of service it is. And sometimes you need a little more experience to before you are a business owner. But this will get, you know, more people into franchising, at least thinking about it for down the line.
Right, absolutely. All right, good. Well, I think that's a great article. Why don't we take a quick break here, Don, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Jennifer Lemke of the Weedman Franchise Opportunity. And Weedman has, as you were saying, almost 40 years of lawn care experience and have grown to be the world's largest lawn care franchise. And the reason for their growth is their partnership with their existing franchisees. Hey, Jennifer, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
Good, Jennifer. Jennifer, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you? We appreciate you coming on the show. You all set for our questions?
I am, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Jennifer. Jennifer, we always like to start off asking our guests where they're calling from this morning to get an idea of what the weather is there.
Well, I'm calling from Canada, so it's still quite cold.
It is.
I'm actually in a suburb of the Toronto area.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great. And there have been some great franchise opportunities, Don and I know, that have come from Canada, you know, so that's fantastic. Jennifer, what were you doing before joining the Weedman Franchise Opportunity?
Well, after attending the University of Ottawa, I actually worked at the university in tele-education, and what we did there was offer university courses to remote areas across Canada where people weren't either, you know, financially able to get to the university. So it was actually a great experience. I learned a lot at that time. The technology then was, you know, having a speaker in these remote sites with an electronic chalkboard. But I then became the liaison between the student and the professor. So it was great, a great position for me. And then from there, that's when I joined the Weedman organization.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll have to talk to you further about that. You know, it's interesting. I'm an online professor for a university called Kaplan University, you know, and we have students all over
the world, you know. And again, some students just can't get to a university like your situation. So I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Tell us a little bit, Jennifer, about the history of Weedman. How did everything start, and when did they start franchising?
Well, you know, maybe just explain. I'm not sure if the listeners really know what Weedman is. We are a relatively new expanding brand in the U.S. We offer fertilization. We control insect control, disease control, essentially anything to do with the maintenance of the lawn. We don't do mowing or anything like that. And our focus is majority on residential lawn care. So with that being said, we started back in 1970 with a gentleman, our founder, Des Rice, and he started operations, again, in a suburb of Toronto, which is called Mississauga, Ontario, and he actually still owns and runs, hands-off, obviously, that particular franchise. But in 1976, decided with his success and with the boom kind of the lawn care industry at that time, to branch out into franchising. So from then, he really focused strictly on Canada. And throughout the years, I believe it was in 1992, we were completely sold out in Canada. So, and currently we are the largest lawn care company in Canada, the fourth largest lawn care company in, I guess, the world, and but the largest franchised lawn care, because that's, we haven't done it through, you know, corporate type entities. We have done it all through franchising. So in the with the history in back in 1986, while I was still quite young, my father decided to look at different opportunities. He was working for Union Carbide Corporate America. And just decided he was kind of tired with it all and started to look at different opportunities. And we really researched, did a lot of due diligence on a lot of different opportunities. And during that research period, we were invited over to a neighbor's house for dinner. And at that time, that particular person, Ron Beulah, owned a Weedman franchise. So, you know, my father would disappear into the basement and take a look at the books and decided that this is something that he could really make a go of, and felt that his background in chemical engineering, as well as the systems that he created and that type of thinking, would bring a lot to the franchise system. So he bought his first franchise in 1986, and that was in Hull, Quebec, which is in just across the river from our nation's capital, Ottawa, and saw great success. 3 years later, bought seven more territories in Montreal, and then that's when he approached my husband and I, as I was working at the university, to see if it was something that we wanted to get involved with. And from that, we, my husband and I decided, yeah, this is something we want to grow. So we embarked, we actually gathered a group of friends and family and created a group of shareholders and started to buy Weedman franchises across Canada. The same group of shareholders went on then. We had great success in Canada. We now own over 40 franchises across Canada. And back in 1996, decided to approach Des Rice and buy the rights for Weedman USA. So that kind of brings us to today. So in Canada, we are actually a franchisee, but in the U.S., the same group, we are the franchisor. And
So would you have that master franchisor title, I guess, Jennifer? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, that's correct.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great. That's a great story.
Yeah, very interesting. Have you seen an increase in U.S. market, people wanting to have their own business and franchise with how the economy's going, Jennifer?
You know, We have in the past really focused on selling our brand within our own industry, so the being the green industry. So we focused on current landscapers or even similar type businesses like pest control, really people that were offering services to the homeowner, as lawn care being an add-on service to their portfolio, or potentially they were offering lawn care, might have been struggling. And we offer them kind of a full-out system, turnkey operation to help them grow their business or cross-market as well. So only recently we've kind of gone to mainstream USA because of our starting to get brand recognition across the U.S. through our earlier endeavors. We have seen an increase, again, we're just getting our name out there, we've seen a lot of increased lead flow into our system. We're finding a lot more people that are tire kickers, whereas when we are focused within the industry, people knew us very well, and when they were coming to talk to us, they were buying the franchise. So we've seen actually, since with the tough economic times, last year, mainstream USA, we've kind of gone down a little bit in that lead flow, and I think it was really when the credit crunch kind of came on last year. But subsequently, now we're starting to see it come back again. I don't know if there's, you know, things are shifting and people are trusting where they're going, or there's a little bit more confidence out there. But where we're seeing another big influx was in the green industry, people that had design-build companies, let's say, where homeowners might not be spending on those large projects, they're now looking at a way to add on a service that's a little bit more recession-proof for them. Right. So we've seen an increase in people coming to us and saying, okay, I need to look at this, and I need to look at it seriously.
And I'm sure the numbers are always going up, but I guess with increased population, more homes, more people, higher percentage is going to want to have a service like yours. I know personally it's just so much more convenient to have a service like yours.
Right.
Sometimes there's pressure when you have property and lawn, because neighbors see it, yeah, to have it look good, have it landscaped nicely, and but just to have a service where the lawn's cut consistently every week, you know it's going to be done, you know there's going to be consistency, they're going to do a good job. It costs a little bit of money, but it's, you know, it's just the way to go.
Yeah,
no, definitely, and that's where, you know, on the franchise sales side, we've been impacted by the economy, obviously, but on the consumer side, we haven't. We typically thrive in times of recession. Our franchisees do better than they normally do, and I think there's two reasons. One, people, when there's a money crunch, they often look at spending more time at home, beautifying their surroundings. They might spend a little bit less on traveling and going to different areas, maybe eating out and doing some of those other extracurricular activities. But, you know, there's studies out there that prove that by maintaining your lawn and keeping it green, it can increase your biggest asset, which is your home, by 15%. So, and not only do you increase your home value, you're increasing your neighborhood's home value by keeping it well kept, just like you said. And the second reason is that, you know, there are people out of work, or they're afraid at potentially being laid off, so they're looking for a second income. So our pool of where we go to get employees is a lot larger than it was in the past. So we have better quality, probably, employees, salespeople that are able to bring our message down to the consumer.
Great points, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true, yeah. And I think we've referenced some of those studies, too, haven't we, Don, you know, that
right.
Jennifer was mentioning, you know, that people are home a lot more and they're taking better care of their surroundings. You know, I think some sources, Jennifer, have called it a staycation, I think is what they've referred it to, you know, is
yeah.
They're not going on vacation as much because they're home. They want to, as you say, beautify their surroundings, you know. So, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. So, and I would agree that this is probably like a recession-proof or recession resistant industry. So yeah, that's a good point. What role, this is a question that we've recently been asking on our show, Jennifer, what role has technology played in your franchise system?
You know, that's an interesting question. Technology plays a big role in our industry and in our particular business. Now, one of the things that we consciously do is that we feel that sometimes being on the cutting edge of technology can lead you down a path of complicating your system. So you have to always be careful of being on that cutting edge. I think that you need to always think, what does the customer want? What does the customer need? With that being said, probably our biggest embrace in technology has been our computer system. And you know, I've worked within our industry for a while and actually participate. I'm on a board of directors of our trade association and very, very close with a lot of things that happen within our industry. And our computer system, being a proprietary computer system, and in fact the company that wrote it and supports it, that's their sole purpose. So it makes it interesting, and they help us. We dictate what the customer wants from the feedback, and they kind of go with us. One of the things that we had, about 2 years ago now, we did a complete rewrite of our system, which enabled us to, we were in a Microsoft environment, and we were dictated almost by whatever platform Microsoft was upgrading or whatnot. So if you wrote the program in 97 Microsoft, when they went to the XP, you know, you had all these complications, so you had to do a rewrite almost every time Microsoft changed their platform. So 2 years ago, one of the things that we wanted to do was we were exploring, in fact, technology and how the consumer buying trends were going online. So this was a great opportunity with some of the challenges we were facing with these different platforms, was to rewrite our computer system in a .NET environment, which opened up the possibility to enable our customers to see their account online, pay online. So we did that. It took us a little while. We've had great conversion rates from our old system to our new system. In fact, 100% of our franchisees across the U.S. are now converted to our new software system. And now this has enabled us to go out and create partnerships and with website and internet providers, and we're now in the process of rewriting our entire website. So, you know, probably a lot of companies 10 years ago were in the process of doing that with the consumer,
right.
But buying trends weren't showing that people were buying online 10 years ago. Now they definitely are. People, you know, book their travel online, do practically everything online. The trends in purchasing things online, there's more trust out there, it seems, with doing that type of thing. And with the secure websites and all of those types of things, with secure logins. So that's kind of where we're at as far as technology is doing a complete rewrite of our website.
That's great.
Interesting, and I noticed on the website you guys have your own magazine, which is interesting. Lawn Leaf.
Yeah, we do. I don't think the current website is not our new website. We are in the process of redoing it, so they're probably a little old, some of those magazines. But we do one every year for our consumer, and it's hand delivered to over 100,000 people across the U.S.
Wow, that's fantastic. And how big is the industry, Jennifer? I know it's a pretty big industry. I guess classified as the green industry.
Yeah. You know, and that's a moving target. I get asked that a lot. Some of the reports that I've read is that it's a $60 billion industry, but that includes forestry, nursery, lawn and landscape, design, build of outdoor spaces. It encompasses everything. And then that same report says that the lawn and landscape, which would include the do-it-yourselfer as well as professional lawn care companies, would be about $47 billion. But what some of these interesting things that these studies have said is that the growth in households using lawn and landscape has grown significantly. In 2001, I think they reported that 23.8 million were using lawn care services or doing it themselves, to now in 2007 was at 34.5 million households. So the demographics, I think, lend themselves well with the aging baby boomers, the do-it-for-me type society that we've become has attributed, I think, to that growth.
That's great.
It's interesting. You know, people don't realize all the details of someone's lawn,
mm-hmm.
and all the different types of, you know, between insects and the type of dirt, type of grass. I mean, there's a lot that has to be, you know, that you guys have to know to treat someone's lawn.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about.
Yeah, but that part of our business model is probably one of the easiest, because we've always maintained our application systems as being very, very simple. And although you are working with the living organisms, and there are definitely things that play into the plant healthcare, a lot of our suppliers and people, as they develop products, they're very user-friendly, very environmentally sound. So this helps us in providing training to our franchisees. So you know, whether it be fertilizing or doing weed control and insect control. It does get a little bit more complicated as you're in the south just because of the different species and you've got 12 months of the year than in the north. But we're able to provide a standard type program based at either northern zone or transitional zones or southern zones and be able to maintain that and really use that same program in those areas, in those different areas.
Interesting. Marty, do you know what your soil pH level is at your home? You know that offhand, right?
I have to look into that.
I bet you it's right around 7.
That's something.
Here's something for you to think about, Jennifer. Next question. What has been the most interesting thing that's happened to you at Weedman?
Well, I would say that when we first started as a franchisee in Canada, you know, we were, as I said before, my husband and I are involved in the business and we're franchisees. And as we grew, you know, we were very close to the customer, but as we grew, we became where we were managing managers and they were managing employees. And then we grew bigger and bigger and then became, in the U.S., we have actual franchisees that have managers that, you know, service the customer. So you just become further and further away from that customer. So back when we were growing the business and kind of hands-on, our culture was we're growing and you're on the bus or off the bus and let's just move forward. But we were close enough to the customer that we were able to impact that customer service or the customer experience. So we started to tire out our employees, I think, and people weren't able to keep up with that pace. So we kind of realized in 2002 as we were looking, and I'm talking about our Canadian franchises that we're owners of, we realized that our culture needed to change and we needed to deliver that culture every single day to our employees. So we embarked, I guess it was in 2002, we embarked on redefining what we wanted our culture to be and realizing this is not a switch that you turn off and say, okay, today we're a new culture and we're going to change things. We knew that this was going to be a long endeavor, but we wanted to develop something that we could, that our empowered our employees to know what was the right or wrong thing to do. So back in 2002, we had all kinds of planning meetings. We spent months redeveloping organizational charts. We looked at where we wanted our growth to be, our vision of our company, both in Canada and in the U.S. And at that time, really sat down, we hired a consultant that we brought in, and my father, who's our CEO, was very much against mission statements, and I could go into a long story, but I won't on why that is. But, you know, it came to us, and it was one of the employees that says, you know, what we want to do is amazing. And what was born from that was our mission statement is, let us amaze you. So that becomes now a litmus test for everything that we do, any system we create. And, you know, if we create something and we sit back and we say, is this amazing our employees? And if it's not, then we're not going to do it. Or is it amazing our customer? If it is, then we are going to do it. And we're going to figure out how to do it for our customer. So what that did is the technicians that are out in the field, which don't have direct supervision oftentimes, if they're sitting there going, wow, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? And we just tell them, simply ask yourself, will it amaze your customers? You know, when we get handwritten notes in from our customers that our technicians have brought in their garbage bins, and that's the type of company we want to be. We just don't want to care about your lawn. We want to care. We care about you. We care about your biggest asset, your home, and we want to be there. And hence the magazine. The magazine is not driven on lawn care. It's driven on wellness and making a better experience for our customers. So that was probably the biggest. And we can continue to push the Let Us Amaze You concept to our employees through training, through online seminars, and everything that we do. And it's also helped us here as a master franchisor because our customer is the franchisee. So, again, we use the Let Us Amaze You and our complete culture to develop systems and develop things and continue to embrace what they're feeling at their local level.
Wow, that's fantastic, Jennifer. I love, yeah, you mentioned, I'm going to share that with my marketing students if you don't mind.
That's amazing.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's very powerful, you know, because I'm always talking about, you know, wowing the customer, but I love that expression. You know, I think it's very clever and it's a great way to set a culture for an organization. So that's incredible.
So I guess when you're then looking for a franchisee, what are some of the characteristics that you're looking for? I guess you want them to have a little bit of what your philosophy is, probably people similar to you and your father, since you've had such great success with the franchise.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing. The people we have attracted to our organization are absolutely incredible people. And oftentimes, with the way we've created our structure was, again, with the customer in mind, being the franchisee with our sub-franchisor concept. I guess I should probably step back a little bit and explain to you, before I answer that question, explain to you the way our system is broken out. When we came to the U.S. back in 1996, we wrote our FDD, we opened up franchises, we sold some franchises, but realized if we were going to reach our goals, we needed to get Americans involved and people that were more local to the franchisee so that they could help support and help our customer, being the franchisee, be successful. So we embarked on this mission of attracting people within actually our industry, and we were able to attract some incredible people that had either lawn care experience or business experience and had built multi-million-dollar either franchise systems or businesses, had either sold out to one of our competitors, and now we're reemerging back onto the lawn care or the green industry scene, or people that were converting. So this network of sub-franchisers, which we have 13 of them across the U.S., are people very similar to us, have the same vision, have the same philosophy, and they, in turn, sell as well as support in their local markets. So the question was, what do we look for in characteristics? I guess we look for people that are respectful and that treat people with dignity, empathy, and hold a high level of standard to integrity. And also people that are looking to build a business, not just a job, build a business, and that are motivated individuals and that are also committed to what our vision of our growth, and that's to be a strong, respected brand, lawn care brand in the U.S.
Great. Yeah. And I guess, for simply for people just to follow your system, and I guess you have had any issues with that, because it seems like you've had some existing business owners who are kind of maybe used to doing their own thing, where you want people to exactly follow the Weedman system. Has that been an issue at all?
Not a huge issue. I mean, we certainly come across that. But it's funny how the network and the news travels quickly. We can say this is what you need to do to get X, but sometimes they don't follow that, and they go out and try, especially in that first year, they try it, they think they know it, and they try and do it themselves. You know, and you can sit here at head office or even at the sub-franchise level and say, you know, we're telling you if you follow the system, you're going to grow it a lot quicker, and you do not need to reinvent the wheel. But oftentimes when our franchisees get together at summer seminars or our annual conference and they sit around a table and their peers tell them their success by following the system, that's when you can convert people, because they go, okay, wait a minute, it's not head office or big brother telling me what needs to be done. These are my peers and they're doing it. So we really lean on some of our very successful franchisees that believe in the system and have followed the system and showcase their success, and that seems to bring people around.
That's a good point. Mm. And what is the training like, Jennifer, for your new franchisees?
Yeah, we have a 12-day program. They have 2 days of agronomics where they learn about all the different grasses and diseases and insects and species. 3 days of business planning, which is a comprehensive business plan that is essentially probably the biggest piece of our system. It gives you a complete blueprint, tells you what you need to do for the year to become successful, right down to what day you're going to need to hire your employees, the different types of employees, when you're going to start your marketing plan, how many decisions you need in an evening to get there, how many yeses, and all of those things. And we track this all historical, and we bring that into the business planning session. We then have 3 days of systems, which is essentially showing them how to execute on different things, right from our marketing to our how are you going to apply fertilizer out on the lawn. So a very hands-on type training. And then it's wrapped up with a 3-day training, which is on our computer system. So complete configuration of the systems, your services that you're going to offer, right down to pricing, and they learn to use the system on a day-to-day business.
Is there a typical day for your franchisees, Jennifer? Like, what's a typical day like?
Well, it changes just because we're a very seasonal business. So in the spring, obviously a little bit more hectic than in the winter. We have, a franchisee, and depending at the size of the business, but let's say as a startup, we have a lot of franchisees that are very involved in the business. So, you know, you'd come in the morning, get your technicians off in the morning, probably go in, do some paperwork, answer some phones. Often people are hands-on, so they'll go out and maybe visit customers or go out and do quality control checks on their technician, come back to the office, fill out some more paperwork, answer more calls, return messages. And then we do a lot of our marketing would be, it's a 3 to 4 month stretch where they would either have employees that would execute the marketing plan. I mean, we're going after residential homeowners and most of our customers work during the day. So we do a lot of our marketing between, let's say 5 to 8:30 at night. In the summer, we're not marketing as heavily. People are, already on the system, so you wouldn't be working in the evenings. You might have a few upsell campaigns to do, but really not as it's fairly easy once you get into all your customer list is ready and you just start to do the application. Fall, we then would be looking at doing your business planning. Again, that's where the sub-franchisor comes in and helps you do your business plan, and it really slows down. You do maintenance on your trucks, get your equipment ready for the following year. Wintertime, we have a lot of folks that go on holidays, take some time off in the northern markets, and we'll get back into the swing and start their marketing all over for spring. And this would change depending on the size of your business, a startup versus a more mature business.
What advice would you give, Jennifer? Speaking with Jennifer Lemke of Weedman Franchise, what advice to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise in general? I mean, you've been in franchising a while. And you've probably answered that a little bit so far in some of the stuff, but what else? Have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, franchising is different than doing it alone. So probably the biggest and the overriding thing, you know, you might like the system, you might think that you can make grow this system, but the most important thing is you have to trust and like the people, because when you're getting into a franchise system, it is a system. And you then acquire partners. And the franchisor is your partner. So it's important that you like that person and that you trust that person, because there's a relationship. And however long your franchise agreement is, that relationship will go on until you decide to not execute or renew it or sell it or whatever that case may be. And the other thing is as you look at a business opportunity, one of the key things that we have success with in pointing out is that our business is a renewable business. So you're not starting from scratch every single day or year with zero customers and, you know, you're having them come in. We start off every year with 80% of our customers to 90% of the customers that were with us the previous year. So you're not looking to replace your database every year. You're looking at building onto it. So it makes it for an attractive business model.
Great, yeah. What are the franchise's plans for the future? Just come into the U.S. I'm sure you have a lot of things.
Yeah, well, in 10 years, we'd like to be in over 450 markets with 800 territories sold, and,
wow,
and really going back to developing a strong, respected national brand.
That's great. Jennifer, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a Reedman franchisee? Is there a website they should go to or a phone number they can call?
Yeah, our franchise site that's dedicated to franchisees is weedmanfranchises.com. Again, that's weedmanfranchise.com, and the phone number is 888-321-9333.
Perfect, and we'll post that up on our show page as well so our listeners can link to that right away. And I want to thank
great
you again, Jennifer. You've been a fantastic guest, and Don and I would love to have you back towards the end of the year or early next year as well.
Well, thank you, and anytime.
Thanks so much,
job,
Jennifer. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Take
bye-bye
care. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of success in Canada, and I'm sure they're going to be doing the same here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's just, and we have a great show next week. Who's next week? Do you remember? I think it's Wing Zone. I have to look on the schedule. But for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, go to franchisefunding.net, go to gofranchise.com, and I guess I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Sounds great, Marty. Have a great day.
Have a great day.